Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. Goodness, it has been quite some time since we recorded.
It's been a fat minute, yeah. A while.
Yeah.
Maybe just, we should let the viewers know what's been up.
I've just been stupid busy with work recently. I had like 3 weeks there that I was just like trying to make a deadline that I knew I could not make.
Yep. Yeah. How did the deadline end up?
I mean, it eventually got done. So, but good. Yeah, I had zero motivation when I got off work every day.
No, I know what you mean. I had that same thing last week. I think I worked 60 hours.
Yeah.
Every time I came home, I was dead and I couldn't study or anything and I was just toast. So,
of course, for our audience, if you're listening to this from the future, it will make zero difference to you because all of the episodes are out. So it's not like you had to wait for anything.
Exactly. But for the ones that have been waiting, we're back, baby. We're back. At least right now for this week.
Hey, yeah, at least right now. Again.
Yeah,
but you know what? That's how it goes when you have a job.
Oh, yeah. That's what a professional career looks like while you're trying to, you know, do some other hobbies.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could eventually get to the point where we could do this as a job. I'd love that.
I would love that as well. That would actually be a dream come true, but that's down the road, you know?
Yeah.
When it happens, we'll know. But what you got going on this week, Cayman? Anything fun? Anything new, update-wise?
I just recently got my 100,000-mile car inspection. So
wow. Dang, that's just now?
Yeah, and it's crazy. My car's over a decade old, and I like just hit 100,000.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
You don't drive enough. You need to get out more.
No, thanks.
Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, so they obviously did an oil change and inspection, and I think they also changed out the coolant in my engine.
Okay.
And then the person said there's like some other weird fluid that I should probably get checked in like another 20,000 miles or so. But at the rate that I drive, that's going to be at least another 2 or 3 years. So,
yeah. Wow. Well, that's good. Your car will last you for quite a while.
Yeah.
Let's see. On my side, I am. So a big update is I got a cat.
Yeah, I think briefly went over that on the last episode, but you've obviously had her for a while now.
Yeah. She's with me now and she's a monster. She's adorable. My legs are scratched up because she always wants to, you know, jump up on me. And she loves to wake me up early. So I try to fight it and it doesn't always work. But she's adorable. She's lovely, extremely cute. And yeah, that's the cat update. And then next week I'm for work flying to Oklahoma for the whole week because that's we have an OAC, a big old meeting over there. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, be careful.
I know. I'm flying literally to where the shooting in Oklahoma happened recently. So that's kind of sad.
I literally, every time I have to drive through Oklahoma is the absolute worst.
And I lived there for 3 years, so.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, I lived in Norman. So Norman honestly is not bad at all. I enjoyed Norman thoroughly, but you know, it's a give and take.
Yeah.
Another like fun update, which I rarely recommend people to do is I like making food like actually with recipes and like getting the right ingredients and stuff like that is so fun.
Yeah.
I signed up for this thingy where they like just send you raw ingredients, like in a giant box and you like have to hunt through it and like get your ingredients and you cook it. And my issue is always that
like just a big box of food.
Yeah. Like just a big box of ingredients.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, I can take a picture at one point. They send you a box and there's like just a little box in the big box and you pull it out and it has like packets of cream cheese, meats and tomato, like one or two tomatoes sitting in there, cucumber.
Was it like a HelloFresh kind of a thing?
Kind of, but it's different. I don't know how HelloFresh works, but as far as I've like talked to people about my box, they're like, okay, that's a little different, but kind of.
It sounds a little different, but is it like is it just ingredients and you figure out what to make with it, or do they send you recipes as well?
Well, they send you papers as well. Yeah. So you can like whenever, like a week beforehand, you can like choose what you like are interested in, and you can like alter it in your way.
Yeah.
And then you kind of follow the paper to the best of your abilities and just do it, kind of thing.
What's it called?
Oh, fuck. Let me look. Me and names just don't go well. It is Every Plate.
Oh, yeah. I've done Every Plate before. That's the same sort of concept.
Yeah. Dude, it's so fun. Holy shit.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
Yeah, not a sponsor, but it's really fun. I don't know. I always have the problem of like, I get too much. If I like get a recipe.
Yeah.
I like get stuff for that recipe, but then I have too much left over of that ingredient or, you know.
Well, I think they're just like trying to cover their base. Just like when you like order a cabinet to build, they always give you a few extra parts.
Yeah. Well, this one doesn't give you any extra parts. It is down to the bone. If you mess up, well, that's tough. And then there are like some parts of it that they expect you to have in your everyday kitchen. So like they don't give it to you, kind of thing.
Yeah. But we've done Every Plate, HelloFresh, Blue Apron. I think there was one other like meal kit that we tried, but they're all pretty much the same. It's just they have different recipes and different price points, obviously.
Yeah. Which has been your favorite?
We did HelloFresh, I think, the most, just because, I think it's a good balance between like feeling fancy kind of recipes, but not too expensive. Blue Apron, I think out of the ones we've tried, Blue Apron was the most expensive, but they also had super fancy, expensive recipes.
Like what? Like a New York style steak?
It's been years since we did it. I couldn't remember one offhand, but we still have the recipes, but it's also just like you can tell the difference in like the quality of the ingredients as well.
Gotcha.
Potato that they send you with Every Plate is not going to be quite as fancy as a Blue Apron potato.
Oh, yeah. I don't give a fuck. I'll just eat it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to learn right now how to like cook and like understand why you do what. And I think it's working slowly.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to like get into cooking, because then like, especially because with some of those recipes, like they give you ingredients that you wouldn't normally get.
Right.
Like there will be a recipe where it's like, oh, you need this like African clove, and they give you just enough for your dish, which makes more sense than you like going out and buying like a jar of those cloves that you're never going to use except for that dish.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like just that. So true. Yeah. Like for some spices too, like they had like a spice listed on there, and I was like, well, I'm going to make this dish again at one point. And so of course, like I wrote it down and it was blackening spice, and I've never heard of blackening spice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go buy it at one point.
That's cool. I'm glad you're having fun with that.
Yeah, I am. It's a great time.
In other news of recently have gotten into AI art generators.
Yeah, I've seen.
Bro, that shit is wild.
It looks fucking cool as shit. Dude, it looks like it should be in Meow Wolf kind of thing.
Honestly, I'd like, I even like all this morning before we started recording have been messing around with it. Like,
really?
It's crazy.
Wow. You're addicted.
I honestly am.
You should take a picture of me and then do something with it and then send it to me.
Send me a picture. I'll fuck it up.
Okay, bet. I'll fuck it up. I'll fuck that shit up.
I'm
actually going to send you one that I took yesterday. Hold up.
I might even post a AI-generated image for our movie that we're talking about today.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
So what a...
Like cover art.
You want to tell the audience what we're talking about?
Yeah, so today we're talking about Thor, The Dark World. That movie.
Perfect. Let me get up some information here, because as I said, I have just been messing around with AI all morning, so I actually did not prepare anything.
Yeah, I feel you. I was, in the meantime, I was yesterday at a place in Colorado that's called Central City, and it's like an hour-ish away from me, and one of my best friends there, Cameron, is there for an opera, operatic whatever he's getting paid for.
Nice.
And yeah, it's like an old mining town that like basically it's living off, or a lot of traffic comes from a casino that's like literally make maybe 10 minutes away, and like the whole town is like has tons of casinos, and it's like super rinky-dinky and old, like founded 1856 or something crazy like that, or earlier actually, I'm not sure. But man, I was there yesterday. It was beautiful. I mean, the picture I just sent you, there's like a lake, and I like going to new places and like trying to get lost. And so that's what I did. Like I went like kind of like backcountry off-roading with my car. And then I finished that and I like rode down this dirt road just for, I don't know how long, like maybe 10 minutes. And all of a sudden I came upon like this lake, just a lake just popped out of nowhere between like these trees. And I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found it on accident. And then I told everyone like in Cameron's opera program, I was like, you guys have to go to this lake. And then Cameron and I went there afterwards to like look at the stars at night. But the moon was so bright yesterday, we couldn't see any really. But yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. So Thor: The Dark World came out in 2013 and was directed by Alan Taylor and written by Christopher L. Yost, Christopher Marcus, and Stephen McFeely.
Okay. Okay.
We'll do our Marvel Minute and talk about what we missed. In between The Avengers and Thor: The Dark World, there was only one movie, which was Iron Man 3. Do you remember if you've seen Iron Man 3?
I was about to say, I don't know if I've ever seen Iron Man 3. I feel like I have, though, and it was just not rememberable.
So basically, Iron Man 3 is Tony Stark sort of dealing with the events of The Avengers. He sort of has like PTSD from going into space and almost dying. And so it's a lot of him dealing with that. And then there is this sort of like threat that presents itself, and attacks him and completely destroys his fancy mansion on the hillside.
Right.
It ends up turning into this like completely separate thing where there's like a bad guy behind the bad guy kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I won't spoil too much since we're not actually talking about it, but
yeah, I mean, I think I've seen it, but yeah. I don't like actively remember it. If I did, it was a while back. Is that movie came out what, like 2013 or something?
Yeah, that one and Thor both came out in 2013. Iron Man 3 came out in May. This one came out in November.
Okay.
That was back when they were doing two Marvels a year.
Not anymore, though.
Nope. We'll probably ramp back up to that. It's just, it's been a slow, like, everyone needed a second to catch their breath after COVID.
Yeah, everyone.
No pun intended.
No, yeah. But it's also true, like, realistically.
After COVID sounds weird. Obviously, COVID is still a thing.
It's lesser now.
Yeah, a lot of people are vaccinated. People are observing basic safety protocol when making movies.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, here in Colorado, there's, I think the population is like almost 80-something percent vaccinated fully.
Yeah.
So it just makes you feel good versus where it came from in Texas. It was like everyone just didn't even want to wear a mask.
Yeah, it's honestly just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't wear a mask here anymore until I like start traveling. Because like, I don't know.
Yeah, I still haven't been on a plane since all of this started, but I feel like I would definitely wear a mask on a plane.
Oh, 100%. I think you have to. I mean, it's still the regulations.
Well, no, I actually heard it was like a month or two ago. It was like really irritating because there was some like CDC announcement where they had said that airlines don't have to mandate masks anymore. Uh-huh. And there was like videos where like people were on, I think it was like American Airlines or something. People were on planes like in the air, and in the middle of the flight, they like made the announcement to everyone that they didn't have to wear their masks anymore. And so like a bunch of people were like ripping off their masks and like,
jeez,
super shitty for the people on that plane that like, there were people that got on that plane with the expectation that people would be wearing masks the whole time. Yeah. And like immunocompromised people like that have to travel somewhere. And now all of a sudden, while they're trapped in this metal box in the sky, people are ripping off their masks right in front of them. It's like, that's just like such a shitty way to do that. They should have done that in between flights so people at least know what they're getting into.
Right. So people can like decide whether or not they want to get on it.
Right.
That's terrible. Awful. But that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Enough.
So anyway, yeah, back to first impressions. What did you think about Thor: The Dark World?
I've actually seen it before, and when I rewatched it, I honestly I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a fun watch for me. I think whenever one of these movies brings in something flying and like it just looks cool and then like in your mind it's possible, I start to enjoy it a lot, and I had a good time through the movie. I liked rewatching it.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I think it was better than I remember it being. I feel like whenever I think about Thor: The Dark World, I just like remember all of the bad stuff. Yeah. But then rewatching it again, I like there were more good parts than I thought that there would be.
Mm, gotcha.
But yeah, like well, that's good. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie in a long time because every time I was like thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, I don't like I didn't remember liking that movie. I felt like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then you just don't even want to rewatch it kind of thing.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you gave it another shot.
Yeah.
That's something.
Before we get too detailed, I think it is time for us to step into the boxing ring.
Oh, gosh.
So I hope you're ready.
I am maybe. Dude, when did you see this movie? When did you watch it again?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to win. I saw this way back before, work hit like crazy.
Bro, you should have done a little refresher.
Well, I read over my notes and I watched like a trailer, but
I gotcha.
I didn't have time to watch the whole movie because I was gone yesterday.
Fair enough.
It is what it is. I have notes though. I took notes. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Perfect.
I'll say let's say when Loki is imprisoned following the attack on New York, a greater threat presents itself to the Nine Realms when an ancient force is unleashed will take the entire universe into darkness. That's what I got.
Is there more? Jesus. Okay.
Listen, I'm trying to get all my keywords in there. That's how you win.
I got you. I got you. After Thor locks up Loki, the Nine Realms gets attacked by a civilization whom they thought were extinct in the Nine Realms themselves, an area they thought was invincible. That's all I got.
All right. Let's see what we got.
And Loki gets released.
I love every single time you just like throw shit in at the end.
I know, because I start remembering shit. I'm like, oh wait, I should put it in there also that like Loki got released and they start working with the person they thought was their enemy.
Okay.
That's juicy. All right. Well, let's listen to the real deal.
Thor fights to restore order across the cosmos, but an ancient race led by the vengeful Malekith returns to plunge the universe back into darkness. Faced with an enemy that even Odin and Asgard cannot withstand, Thor must embark on his most perilous and personal journey yet, one that will reunite him with Jane Foster and force him to sacrifice everything to save us all.
Huh.
I don't mean to brag, but I feel like I did a pretty bang-up job on that first half there.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I didn't say anything about Jane Foster, but
ancient civilization.
I said ancient evil, and this says ancient race, but
that's too bad.
I did mention plunging the universe back into darkness.
Did you? Yeah, I think you did say that. Yeah,
I don't think I used the word plunge, but
I guess it doesn't count then. That's too bad.
I think I got more words than you got.
No, you did. You did. You did. Yeah, that was good. You win this time, good sir.
Yeah.
But I can't believe they didn't mention anything about like working with their enemy. I feel like that would have been so juicy.
Yeah, I think that might give away a little. Yeah, too much.
Damn.
But oh well. Let's take a quick break and then we will, be back and talk about some feelings.
My feelings?
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, well, the first note that I have on here, and it might be jumping a bit, but it's an old sword shield fight. That was my first question. These people have all the technology, all the power in the world, and more.
Yes.
And then they, it's like bring it back to ancient Earth times to where they have shield and swords and they're fighting.
Yeah.
Just kind of makes me, it made me feel weird.
That's just their style, man.
But like, they're gods. Like, why don't they have swords that are like lasers, you know, like combine, well, I mean, Star Wars and the human race.
Kind of do. Like, I mean, Thor can shoot lightning, and like, we see halfway through the movie, like, Odin literally just like lasers a guy in half with his spear.
No, yeah, that's true. But like, the fight that they had at the very beginning, it was literally sword and shield, and that's how they were killing each other. Like, no.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. It feels to me like it's more of like a, like an honor thing. Like, yeah, they could roll up in there with guns and just blast everyone, but they, like, first of all, they enjoy fighting, and so
okay, that would make sense. You saying that makes sense.
And also it feels like more of like a respect thing. Like, we are two adversaries on the battlefield, and rather than trying to kill you from way over here with a gun, I'm gonna come up and like kill you with my hands like a proper person.
yeah I mean, saying that they like fighting makes it so much more like realistic, because like, I know that both sides want to win, but if they, I guess it just depends. Like, do they want to like fight each other more than like actually win? Like, which urges more? I don't know.
Well, I think they definitely like want to win, but they're just like enjoying themselves while they do it. Like, you can see like Thor and his friends are like making jokes while fighting people and stuff like that.
That's true.
Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, we're fighting for our lives. It's like, nah, we're just gonna beat some people up.
Yeah, but I mean you saw what happened. They lost someone very near and dear to them.
I mean, yeah, when it gets serious, it gets serious.
Yeah. Who was the person that they lost in that first sword shield fight?
In the first fight, did they lose someone important in the first fight?
Shoot, maybe it wasn't the first fight, but in my mind it was when that alien race came crashing into like the Grand Cathedral, and then they were fighting, and then I guess two of them snuck away and they got a hold of the mom.
That's like over halfway into the movie.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The first fight is when they're on that planet and that big rock guy comes up, and then the Thor comes down and like smashes him into a little pile of pebbles.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess that wasn't important enough for me to note it. okay. I honestly, like, in my mind, now that I'm thinking back on watching it, in my mind, the movie starts when that alien ship comes, like, you know, they all like the battle stations are trying to shoot it down and shit like that. And like, yeah, they're blowing it up and they're trying to get the shield up. And that's for me when the movie starts.
There's a lot of stuff that happens before that.
Okay. Well, my bad. you take it away, because that was like for me where the movie starts.
So yeah, the beginning is there's a lot of like, we see Jane Foster like going on a date, and then her friend Darcy comes and tells her that there's a bunch of weird shit, and they go to that like abandoned.
My god.
And then the kids are there playing around with the, like, throwing stuff down the stairwell, and it disappears and reappears above, like, them and all that shit.
You want to see something cool? And she's like, yeah. She's like, don't tell anyone. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. And then she like ends up disappearing through one of the weird little portal things and ends up right next to this like big stone thing. And that's when she gets infected by the ether, which was described. There was like a little like storybook opening at the very, very beginning of the movie where you hear Odin talking about long ago, the dark elves created blah, 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 something, something.
Yeah.
And then the ether is something evil force. I don't remember exactly what he said, but you know.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about how his dad beat the dark elves. And then instead of trying to destroy the ether, they like just tried to hide it from everyone. And apparently by some dumb luck, Jane Foster walked through a portal that put her right in front of it.
yeah. I mean, I don't know why that just, to me, that part of the movie was just so slow and boring. It didn't feel like the movie.
And that's actually how Jane and Thor get reunited, because while she is getting infected by the ether, she just like completely disappears. And so Heimdall, who can see and hear everything in the entire universe.
For the people that don't know who Heimdall is, who is this?
He's the guardian of Asgard.
Perfect. With the cool helmet.
Yeah.
And he's like the coolest suit, I feel like, out of anyone.
Heimdall's a boss.
Yeah, he's a fucking badass.
But he tells Thor that he can't see her anymore. And so Thor freaks out and goes down to Earth. And then, like, right as he arrives, she comes back out of the portal. And then they're like, oh, kissy, kissy. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I missed you. Where were you? And blah, blah, blah. He was like, oh, saving the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get reunited. And then he asks her, like, where were you? Heimdall couldn't see you. And she was like, what? I wasn't anywhere. What?
They're about to get arrested, and he takes her back to Asgard, and then Odin gets mad that she's there, and then they try to, like, arrest her in Asgard, but what happens is every time someone touches her, there's, like, this big explosion from the ether inside of her, and so they're like, oh, okay, that's, like, a problem, and so then they're trying to, like...
Well, they're trying to figure out what it is at first.
Fancy space doctors.
Yeah, that was a really cool part, the fancy space doctors. And then they're like, there's something inside of her. And then her dad, the dad of Thor, comes down and is like super pissed. And then he sees what's going on. He's like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. Uh-oh.
But yeah, that basically sets in motion, because when the ether goes into Jane, it like awakens Malekith, who has been like sleeping for thousands of years since Odin's father beat him. And so when the ether starts messing around, they all wake up and they're like, all right, it's time to go get this shit.
Yeah. Wait, so like, explain to me, like, why did the ether all of a sudden then decide to like wake up, or like, what was the point of that?
What do you mean?
And like, why her?
Just because she was right there.
Mm. But I mean, if it was like, did it just bide its time to like that specific moment thousands of years later?
Well, no, it was like, it was trapped there in that little like rock crevice down in whatever cave it was in, and no one had been there for thousands of years.
Right, but I mean, that building wasn't even there, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then that portal all of a sudden like sucked her in, kind of thing. I don't know, I feel like, for to me at least, that was kind of a negative, the stretch of like her being the one to like get sucked in versus like someone random. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, it's just dumb luck, which, like, first of all, the fact that it just happened to be Jane, and then also that she walked through this portal, and like it could have spit her out anywhere, and it just happens to spit her out right next to the ether.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of derm.
Yeah, but yeah, that happened.
But yeah, there's this event that only happens like every like 5,000 years, I think, or something like that, called the Convergence, where apparently the nine realms align with each other. And that's like the best time, that like, that's why all of the portals appeared in that building. And that's why like a bunch of wacky shit is happening. And if Malekith uses the ether during the Convergence, then he can affect all nine realms at the same time and plunge the universe into darkness, as we said earlier.
Yeah.
Because they're dark elves, so they like the dark.
They like the darkness.
I think the way it's described in the movie is that the ether transforms matter into dark matter. So it would just like literally change everything.
Mm. Is there a movie out there somewhere about like that? Like, you know how like they showed flashbacks of like their war and stuff like that? Is that like a book, or like where'd they get that storyline from? Like that the dark elves were defeated and...
You know. I don't know if that's like, I'm sure it's mentioned or shown in the comics somewhere, but I don't know.
Mm, okay. I feel like that would have been a really cool like movie to watch too. Like all of like the ancient warriors, like not Thor this time, obviously, because he was still young, but
yeah, he wouldn't have even been born yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a more powerful Thor.
yeah. But just as a like general negative, I really don't like Darcy just as a character. She was like kind of like comic reliefy in this movie, but even then, it just like, I don't know, something about her is just not funny to me.
Really? Like how?
I don't know, just like she keeps making weird comments, and like that, like even in the beginning where she like interrupts Jane's date and she's like, oh yeah, I expected you to be in your PJs eating ice cream moping about you know who, and like, I don't know, just the way that she talks bothers me.
I feel that. Yeah. Now the real question is, could the movie have done without her?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think she was just an add-on character?
Yeah, I think she was just there to like lighten the mood a little bit. Because she didn't really do like, she didn't really move the plot forward in any way. Like, yeah. I guess they went and like her and her intern went and got Eric Selvig out of the freaking psych hospital, but
yeah,
like, but he also didn't need to be in the hospital.
right. Even that was like a very much a stretch. Like, you would not ever put anyone in the psych ward just because of, you know, what he was doing. I mean, I guess he was running around in underwear, but
he was running around completely naked.
Completely naked, yeah.
Screaming about gods.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that did deserve a psych ward. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But yeah, I agree. I feel like that was kind of a pressing thing, and like, her jokes were like not really like full jokes. I feel like the way she was talking with her intern was funny here and there, but mostly, I don't know, having that idiot intern there was just kind of,
yeah, it was just like lot. It was just like random, like, oh, look how silly this is. Like, even like when they're playing around with the portal and then the intern like throws the car keys in and there's like, it, they wait a beat and it doesn't come out, and then she's like, were those our car keys? It's like, yeah. Oh, so funny. But I'm like,
oh my god, shit, I didn't mean to throw those.
Just dumb.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's a good critique. I would agree with it.
On the plus side, when Thor and Heimdall are talking about the convergence, there is one shot where it like zooms in on Heimdall's eye and you can like see the entire universe reflected in his eye. Gorgeous,
yeah.
Shot.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very cool. Heimdall. I wonder how they made up these names.
I mean, they're actual Norse mythological characters.
I wonder how they made up those names. Even in the mythological world, you know?
I mean, the same way they made up like the name Jerry. Like,
no.
Names are names.
That's different.
Heimdall. Is it different? I mean, yeah, but that's just because it's an old language. Like, obviously, they didn't have names like Samantha back then.
That's fair. But we should bring back the old names.
I feel like those sorts of names were more commonplace back then. So it's just, yeah. Like, yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Well, let's see here. Are we to my old sword fight yet? I don't think so. Because I should have written something about like when they emerged. That was so sick.
Yeah. So how it starts off is Malekith sends his second in command, whatever, to like blend in with a bunch of prisoners who are going to Asgard. And you sort of see a shot. They come through the Bifrost and they're walking, and there's like, you see in the background, Heimdall like kind of looks over at him, like can tell that something's different about him.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a bunch of prisoners, so it's like, I guess, doesn't think about it too much.
Yeah.
And then they all get put in prison, and then the guy like has this weird crystal that Malekith shoved into his side that he like breaks, and it turns him into like a big monster.
Like invisible. Like not invisible, like invincible.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then he breaks out of his cell, and then he starts releasing all of the other prisoners. And while he's doing that, that's when Heimdall sees like this ship coming in, and it's like cloaked, but because Heimdall could see everything, he sees it. And so he like runs and like jumps off the bridge and takes down this ship.
Gorgeous scene. That was probably one of my favorite from the movie.
Yeah.
Like him running down like this little tight passageway and then just jumping off of it. We don't know exactly what he sees yet. And then all of a sudden he like puts his little axe and then in this machine and destroys it.
And then right after he does that, there's like 50 more of them that come down out of this like giant mothership. And he's like, oh, crap.
Well, what does he do after that? How does he alert? He runs back to a station and like uses his axe to like put up the shield, right?
Yeah. So he can there's obviously Asgard as a whole is like this huge city, but there's like the I guess what would be the castle in a normal like medieval town, but it, obviously in Asgard it's like this huge golden I think you called it like a cathedral earlier, but the place where all of the important people are,
right?
And so these ships start flying through and they're like going through the city, and he starts putting up the shield to go to cover that main building.
Yeah. And then like while the ships are going through the city, like they're being shot down by the city's defenses, which are like lines of turrets. And then the city also sends up like their own fighter pilots to, you know, battle them.
Right.
It was a really cool scene. It lasts for quite a little bit.
And then that's when the cursed elf guy is like walking past Loki, and Loki tells him to like, he's like, oh, I think you should take the stairs to the left. And that leads him down to, I guess, like a control room where he just like starts breaking shit, which lowers the shield again.
I don't know why Loki would do that, quite honestly.
Probably because he was just upset. He was like, you know what? Fuck them. They put me in prison. And I think like Odin even said like he would be in prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he did say that.
So
I guess that makes sense. But then also the next question is, why the heck is that control room that close to where the prisoners are?
They don't really show us like a layout, so I don't know if it's like right down the other room or if it's like maybe he walked for a while, who knows.
I don't know, but I mean the guy didn't even know the whole layout and he went there and busted that shit up.
Yeah, real I guess quick.
I don't know.
That was another of my my positive notes is the Dark Elves had these like antimatter grenades.
Yes. Which was
the coolest freaking thing.
How do they work?
It was like the most brutal thing ever. They would like throw them and then everything in like a 3 meter radius just like got sucked into nothingness, like folded in on itself.
Yeah, like a black hole kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Honestly, I'm like, I'm not too interested in talking about the bad guys because I didn't really like them either. And I think that's one of the big reasons why I originally didn't like this movie as a whole. Like, Malekith just felt like such a nothing villain to me.
I would agree.
I feel like he's just like very generic. Like, yeah, I want to kill everyone and make everything dark.
Yeah.
But you never see him planning. Like, obviously the invasion of Asgard, you can tell that obviously that would have taken a lot of work. But honestly, it's not like this big plot. It's like we send one person in to be on the inside and then everyone else just races into the ships. Like he's not a smart person. He literally just attacks.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of a boring bad guy to me.
Yeah. He doesn't have the depth of Loki or like the smarts of Loki, like very cunning and plans every move out kind of thing. Yeah.
But what you had alluded to earlier is because Malekith is trying to get the ether and the ether is inside of Jane, obviously, I don't know how he can like detect where it is. I think sometime earlier in the movie, Odin says that Malekith created the ether, which I've got a whole separate problem with. That doesn't make any sense. But I guess because he created it, he can locate it. Yeah, or something like that. I don't know.
But then it's like, why couldn't you just do that when it was in the rock area?
So then, yeah. So then he's going after Jane and Jane is being protected by Frigga, who is Thor's mother.
I wouldn't even say that they were trying to protect her. I feel like more or less they were trying to hide them.
Well, yeah. And
for some reason,
obviously the goal would be hiding, but you fall back on protecting once they find her.
Right. Which that doesn't make any sense to me how they just like all of a sudden found her. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they did kill a lot of guards to get to them, but still.
Yeah. And so Malekith walks up in there and we see them do like a sword fight. And Frigga is actually like really good with a sword and like pins him against a wall.
I think he was surprised too.
And then the big cursed elf guy walks in. And so she's like, oh, shit. And so then she lets him go and he walks over and like tries to grab Jane. And then she like disappears because Frigga is the one that taught Loki how to do all of his illusion like magic.
Little trick.
Yeah.
Because he's a mama's boy.
Yeah. And so obviously Jane disappears. And Malekith gets mad and tries to like question her. And she is like, oh, I'm never going to tell you. And he's like, you know what? I believe you. And so then the big guy like stabs her in the back.
Yeah.
And so
that's a sad way to die.
Yeah. And so, of course, like right after that happens, Thor and Odin get there and Thor like tries to throw his hammer at them. But they like jump off, get into a ship and fly off. And big sad moment. And other obviously a lot of other Asgardians also died during the attack and they have this huge funeral. And obviously because they're Norse gods, it's like a Viking funeral and they send them out all on boats and then fire arrows to set the boats on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very touching.
Speaking of Vikings, one of my friends here is a Viking descendant. It's pretty cool. Yeah. He's like 6'9". So kind of looks like it too. Man's an actual Viking, but yeah.
But yeah, that funeral scene was another one of my positives on my list. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I also put on my list that the jail that they had, since we kind of did brush over it because we were in the middle of like telling the story, but the jail they had, I thought it was such a cool idea and it looked amazing to have like, you know, these phantom shields and like all the different sorts of prisoners in there. And they're all in like this like cave area. I just thought it was like a super cool interpretation of what a jail could be in the future.
Yeah.
Let's see.
My next positive I have is the Asgard escape sequence because obviously Thor is angry and wants to go and get revenge and whatever. And Odin is like, no, we don't need to go after them. We still have Jane, so he'll come for us. And Thor is not into that plan. So he and his friends sort of like hatch a plot to like go to the dark elf world, which is called Svartalfheim.
Okay, so the world that they went to, what was that, where their ancient civilization used to live, and then that everything just got destroyed, or what?
Yeah, so they don't really do a too good of a job of like explaining it, but like the dark elves are like the oldest race in the universe. Like before anyone else existed, the dark elves existed, and the universe was entirely dark. And then something happened, I guess. Like you could say like the Big Bang, but that doesn't really like fit with the lore of the universe, because then that would mean that like the universe existed before the Big Bang, and that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Right.
But something happened.
What if there was a dark elf that turned into like a good elf and like started a civilization somewhere?
And light got introduced into the universe, and that is what started everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then when light took over, they went and fought the dark elves and destroyed them literally everywhere.
Right. They killed all of the dark elves, and they show in that battle sequence in the beginning when I don't remember Odin's father's name. He says it like five times. It's like Orm or Bob or Borm or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in the battle sequence in the beginning, it shows like, once the ether got taken away, the Asgardians were just like wrecking the elves. And so Malekith just like dropped all of his ships out of the sky to fall on the Asgardian army.
Yeah.
And then like him and his guy and like a couple hundred soldiers managed to escape.
Yeah. A very small group.
Yeah. And so they were like all that's left of the dark elves.
Yeah. Which is kind of annoying that they could just like, one of the things like that I thought was weak was, you know, this like group of however many dark elves there were, and all of a sudden they attack like the main holding place of apparently the strongest civilization current in the universe. And then they basically literally just win, almost, in my opinion. I don't know. It was tough.
Yeah. It's a little strange.
Yeah. Like what, they just become weak over time? Let their defenses down kind of thing. I'm not sure, but
maybe they just, because they weren't expecting it. And there was, because all the prisoners got let out, they were like busy, distracted with the internal problem. And so that gave them a chance to attack from the outside.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, anyway, that was their plan. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So Odin says they're not allowed to leave. Thor wants to leave to take the fight to their planet instead of fighting on Asgard. And so him and his friends are like coming up with this whole plot where they're like, well, we're gonna let Loki out, and then Loki is gonna like help us and we're gonna fly one of the dark elf ships, and then Loki knows a secret passageway to get to the other planet.
Right. And Loki's the only one that knows and can fly the ships with this amount of skill to do it.
And so there's like this huge sequence of them like sitting in a basement talking to each other and planning it out. And I thought that was a fun little moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also the moment where he was like, you can like stop playing these games, because like Loki found out that his mom died.
Yeah.
And then because he was putting up this fake facade of like him just sitting in a chair relaxing. And then he put the fake facade down, and it was like the room was just destroyed and he was crying in the corner kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's when they started planning it. And when they did that, I thought it was really cool that the place, like the quote unquote heroes, the good guys at the start, were still good guys, but they became the villains because they were trying to hold them back. And I thought that flip was really nice, like stating that although you are a good guy at one point, like to the main character, to Thor, you can become the evil almost. Yeah.
Well, there's like obstacles, because you even see like there's like three different checkpoints, and at every one, like one of the members stays behind to hold off the soldiers.
Yeah.
And so it's like they'll be running down a hallway, and a bunch of soldiers are like chasing after them, and then like Lady Sif is like, "You keep going, I'll hold them off," and she pulls out her sword. And then I guess they didn't really show Sif fighting that much, but in the other times that happened, you could tell that like they weren't like killing these soldiers, because obviously they're still Asgardians. They're just like pushing them and like knocking them out and stuff like that.
Right. Like a non-lethal switch.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. My next negative.
I one of my like questions that I had with that like exiting sequence was Loki's flight path into the hole. I asked how.
What do you mean,
like,
how?
Like how? Like how did that work? He flew the ship basically between these two rocks, and then what? What was there? Like
a portal.
A portal. Okay. Did Loki put the portal there?
No, it's the same, like the same way that those freaking in the warehouse with the kids throwing the bricks and shit. Oh, he just knows that there's a portal in that cave. And no one else knows that there's a portal there.
I mean, shouldn't the guy that sees everything see that portal?
I don't think he can see portals. Mm. Plus, the portals only happen when, like, during a convergence. And Heimdall even said that the last convergence happened, like, way before he was around.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's like a very rare occurrence. I'm just curious how
Loki knew all this stuff.
I don't know how Loki figured it out, but...
Oh, well. Well, what was your next negative?
My next negative was the plan that the humans come up with. So they have like these little like spike detector things that they're like, oh, we have to go to the like central location where the convergence is going to happen, and we'll plant all these spikes in the ground. And then their plan is to like create one of those portals, I think. Like,
I think when the convergence happens, everything lines up, right? And that's where the portals all open. And I think what they were trying to do with the spikes is keep it out of order, right?
So I think they were trying to like reverse it, so that, because the way that that Dr. Selvig was describing it is, normally during a convergence, all of these different worlds are like passing through each other, and so like that's why all the portals happen and like things are colliding with each other and stuff like that. And the point of these spikes is to like,
oh wait, it was to close the portal.
It was to sort of like shift everything a little bit, so instead of these worlds passing directly through each other, they would just like pass by each other.
Right.
I don't know, it wasn't very clear, but
it wasn't. No.
That's a whole other negative. But at one point, while they're running around with the spikes, because Jane has an idea that she can like use them to like trigger a portal, which she does a couple times, where like soldiers will be running at her, and then she'll like push a button and they go poof and then just like disappear.
Right.
But while they're setting up the spikes, Dr. Selvig yells out to them to be careful, because he says, these devices were made to detect anomalies, not create them. And I like, it's not that important. And I like, it's whatever, because it's a movie, as a lot of these complaints are just like not that important, I guess. But I don't know. That seemed like such a stupid way to describe that, because like that's not how any other technology works. Like, unless you're going to explain specifically what they did to these spikes,
like how they tweak them,
that would be like me setting up like a radar tower that's supposed to like detect the weather, and then me being like, you know what, I'm actually going to make a little tweak, and all of a sudden this radar dish is going to create storms. And I was like, that's not how technology works. You can't just reverse it like that.
I get that. Yeah, I mean, that whole thing was very much so weird, because like they're running around also with like this little tablet and controlling it somehow. And I don't know. It was a stretch. That whole thing was a stretch. And I wish they should have thought about that a little bit better, but maybe it was part of the moment. It was cool. It was like futuristic and it looked like they were playing a video game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The only part of all of this that I liked is that the doctor, at one point, he said that he has no pants on because it helps him think. That was the best part of the whole thing, was where he takes his pants off and like starts like walking around, and like that's how he helps, like that's how he thinks better. I thought that was the best part.
After they pull out the map and they're like, oh, we have to go to Greenwich, and he's like, oh, I guess I go better go put my pants on.
Yeah. It's like, shoot, I don't want to get arrested again, I guess. Yeah, that was probably the best part of like those, that trio, in my opinion.
Okay, so I have,
not to mention, because when they were tweaking the thing, at one point they sucked up Thor too, right? And they and Thor was like put somewhere else, and then like he had to go on the subway.
Yeah, it was when he was fighting Malekith, and they got teleported. They like kept going through portals, and they'd go to like to a different planet, and then back to Earth, and then to a different city. And it was I actually had one of my positives that I thought was just a fun moment was seeing that apparently Mjolnir has like infinite range, because you saw when they got teleported to the other planet. Because he threw his hammer, and then while his hammer was flying, he got teleported, and you immediately see the hammer like stop and then shoot up into the sky. Yeah. Like it's just going to actually fly all the way to that other planet.
Right. Yeah.
And then when he gets teleported back to Earth, you see it like stop and turn around. Again.
Yeah. And then you see like him standing in the subway with like all these regular people. He was like asking about what stop is next or something like that. I thought it was really funny.
I actually had a negative about him. Him being on the train was funny, but when he got on the train, there was a woman standing there, and the train gets off, and she like fake does a stumble so she can like put her hand on his chest, and I'm just like,
wait, really?
What? Yeah, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, and I was just like thinking about that when I saw that, and it's like I would expect more for this having come out in 2013. Like that's 9 years ago. Only but like if you had made this same joke and it was like the superhero is a girl and the person on the train is a boy, people would be so upset about that.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true.
Like you're like, oh my gosh, sorry, I stumbled and put my hand on your chest. Like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah, that's assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, but quite honestly, like people don't take that as seriously as when it happens to males, which I to an extent I understand, but at the same time it's like, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't really have any other notes besides that. I have one other note about one of the credit scenes, which I know you haven't been watching in the previous movies, so I don't know if you saw this one.
But wait, I still have a few. I have a few notes.
Yeah, okay. We'll go through your notes first before we get to that one.
We'll do. So the evil guy, he was sent to his home planet, correct? And then crushed.
Correct.
All right. And then at the end of the movie, or at the end of like almost the endish, it showed Loki on the throne.
Yes.
Okay. Very confused when that happened. I was like, "Hey, I totally forgot that was a thing."
Right, because when they were fighting, Thor and Loki have this like plan to fake him out, where Loki like fake betrays Thor and like cuts off one of his hands, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't even care about you guys," and then it's when Malekith gets close enough, they like trick him and zap him, and that's how he gets like a big old burn on the side of his face. But then apparently, I don't remember the exact fight sequence, but at some point he stabs Loki, I think.
Who does?
Malekith.
Oh.
Or maybe one of maybe the big guy stabs Loki. I don't know. Loki gets hurt. And so after the Dark Elves skedaddle out of there, Thor is like has this big emotional moment with Loki, and they're sitting on the ground, and he's like, "I'm so sorry," and he's like, "No, brother, I'm proud of you."
Yeah. Okay.
But thing about Loki is he's very good about faking his death. So
right, and then they showed the collector. A collector. Who is that?
Okay, so you did see the after credit scene then, because
I waited then.
Yeah, because the collector is in the end credit scene.
Okay. Yeah, I did watch it then. I remember to watch to the end, at least. Go me. Okay, so awesome. Explain this part.
Okay, so the collector is basically just like the name implies, he just has like a big collection of shit. I wouldn't even call it a warehouse. It's like a space station where he keeps, he just like collects things, yeah. Interesting things. Like you see a couple of the boxes that he has have like living beings in them. Like he's not necessarily a good guy. Like he definitely is just like, if he thinks you or anything you own is interesting, he's gonna take it and put it in his collection.
Yeah, but then like he also like had a plan. He was like, oh, I need this many more of them. And I was like,
I mean, yeah, just okay. So yeah, that's what my note has to do with, is because they bring the ether to the collector because they already have the Tesseract on Asgard, and that's when they're like, oh, well, it wouldn't be smart to have two Infinity Stones that close to each other,
right?
And they like kind of briefly mention that a little earlier in the movie, because when Odin is talking about the ether, he says all of the other relics presented as stones, but the ether is fluid. And it just like, first of all, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense that one of them would not be a stone. But also, yeah, because the ether is an Infinity Stone, and we later find out it's the Reality Stone, but it is confusing why they would then say that Malekith created the ether, because no one created the Infinity Stones. The idea is that they're like, when the universe was created, they're singularities that each represent like a different aspect of creation.
Yeah, interesting. And so the collector wanted all of these aspects of creation for him to be what, God or something?
No, just because he just infinite, there's only one set of Infinity Stones, and so when you have a one of a kind collection like that, he's like, he just wants them so that he can have them.
Oh, so he was like actually like wholeheartedly just trying to collect them.
Yeah, he is not interested in power of any sort. He just wanted he just wants the Infinity Stones because he wants them because they're cool.
My God, they made him like look and sound and just feel so evil. I was like, oh God, this guy.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they did that.
Yeah, like
I mean, like so I said, evil. he's not a good person. So like, if someone was, if he had the means to take an Infinity Stone from somebody, yeah, he would probably try to. So he could potentially be dangerous, but he's not evil dangerous. He's just dangerous because he doesn't care about anyone else. Oh, so sure. Like, he's not, he has no qualms about hurting other people.
Yeah. Okay. And then I have one more note about this end sequence, is that when Thor came back to her to Earth, right?
Yeah.
The very last scene.
That was actually the second end credit scene. Okay. You saw both of them.
Oh, let's go. The very last scene I had a big issue with,
okay,
was the fact that the beast that they let out on Earth, this giant monster dog thing, was still, yeah, running around.
What? I think that was just for a laugh.
That was not a like, laugh. It confused me.
He's like
me
chasing like birds or something.
Yeah, it was chasing a bird or like a butterfly or something like that. And it was like hopping around on cars and the car alarms were going off. And I was like, bro, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw that. I was like, dude, that's a little stretch. But I guess if it was for laughs, it's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like it. It really doesn't make any sense to me why the ether seems to be a completely different thing in this movie than in any other movie.
Oh, it's different in this movie?
Well, yeah, because they honestly, like in the future, sort of treat it more like like it just becomes like a normal Infinity Stone. Because
I mean, maybe they heard the critique and were like, yeah, we can't really do anything with this.
Well, it also just because it doesn't make any sense for it to be this like weird liquid thing when all of the other Infinity Stones are like crystals. So I don't know.
Maybe they compacted the liquid somehow into a stone at one point. I mean, where's the change? You can't just change the thoughts of what the Infinity Stone is, no?
I don't know, man. I mean, they don't like completely forget about it. Like you still sort of see the fluid nature of it, but it's not treated the same way.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah.
Wow, well, we got through the whole thing and the two extra scenes.
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
Like I said, it's better than I remember it being, but still like not really a good movie. I think The only reason that I had put it on our list of movies to watch is because there are very important plot points. Because, first of all, this is the introduction of the Reality Stone. And because the Infinity Stones are important, it's important to see the first movie that this one appears in. Yeah, so that's important. Okay. And then the second important part is because Frigga dies and her death has effects on the characters after this. Obviously.
Okay. Well, it's good to know the points then. I don't know how they tie into the next movies, but I guess we'll find out.
We will find out. You ready for some trivia?
I'm down. I'm ready.
I'm going to be flying off the cuff this time because, like I said, I did not prepare, so.
That's totally fine.
This first one says Chris Hemsworth grew out his hair for over a year to have more authentic long hair rather than using a wig like he did in the first Thor movie.
Interesting. Did you notice any difference between the hairs?
I'd have to go back and look at the first Thor movie again, but it seemed natural. I guess I didn't really notice a wig in the first movie, but I also wasn't looking for a wig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, whenever I watch like the first movies or any movie, really, I don't look at the character to see what they're wearing or if they're wearing a wig.
But yeah,
I feel like if they're putting millions of dollars into it, it should be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes you really can tell, especially if there's like reshoots. Like there are some movies where it's like they will have their hair for a specific style and they'll film the movie. And then like half a year later, they're like, oh, we actually need to film another scene. And the person has like gotten a haircut or something. So they're like, oh, well, I'll just put a wig on. And then like you can tell in the movie, like one scene they have natural hair and then the next scene they have a wig. And then it's very noticeable when you see them side by side.
What movie would that be in? I have no idea. I've never noticed that.
I'm trying to think of a good example. You can definitely tell in the Justice League movie. They did that with Ben Affleck. That's not part of Marvel, so.
Right.
But yeah, that's the most recent example I can think of.
Okay. I've never paid attention to that, I guess. Lack of detail.
This says Loki was originally not going to appear at all, and there was going to be a much greater focus on Malekith and the Dark Elves, but following his popularity after the Avengers, the script was rewritten to give him a bigger role.
No way. Maybe that's why. Like, you know how we said that we felt like the Dark Lords were kind of empty?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. They just cut all of, like, the juicy scenes that introduces them and just put more focus on Loki.
That could be. Bor. That is Odin's father's name.
That's what it was.
Bor.
Like a boar. He did look like a boar.
Yeah, well, because of the height difference between the two, a box and later a ramp had to be used in some of the close-ups and kissing scenes between Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth.
No way. Why couldn't he just bend down like a regular tall dude? Hello?
Okay, so Chris Hemsworth is 6'3".
If you tell me she's like 5'8 or something,
And Natalie Portman is 5'3". There's an entire foot between them.
Okay, that's a lot. 5'3". Wow. That is short. Quite honestly, wait. Because I'm 6'6", and I've dated someone at one point that was 5'6", I believe. Yeah. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, she got to bend over a bit.
Yeah, but bending over doesn't look good on camera.
That's true. Unless that kind of a movie, you know.
The filmmakers chose Iceland as the setting for the dark world of Svartalfheim for its black volcanic landscapes, and the name Svartalfheim means home of the black elves in Old Norse or Icelandic.
Oh, that's cool. Interesting.
Christopher Eccleston says he did not like playing Malekith. He admitted that he accepted the role mainly for the money, but stated that he especially disliked the long hours that he had to spend in makeup to complete the look. He claimed that the process took 7 to 8 hours on the first couple days and about 6.5 hours afterwards, that Marvel lied to him by not informing him about the extreme makeup requirements beforehand.
Wow. I mean, shit, you're going to get paid to sit in a chair and have other people put makeup on you. Why complain?
I don't know, man. Some people are not into it.
Bro, I would love to sit in a chair for 7 hours and get fucking a makeover done so much so that, like, I'm a different, like, being. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess these people are spoiled, so.
I imagine it's also probably, like, if you're in a chair for 8 hours, like, that's a whole work day just putting makeup on. And then you still have to go and act after that.
That's fair. At that point, like, I would just, like, lay down and sleep.
And like, if they're putting like intense face makeup on, like, I don't know, like, how do they, like, what do they do to take breaks for like eating? Or do you just have to like shake all day?
No, I'm sure they like, you can eat. I'm sure that shit's good enough. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'd hope so. But I mean, if he's complaining about it, not all, you know, sunflowers and rainbows.
This says, according to Natalie Portman, she was not available to film the post-credit scene where Thor and Jane Foster finally kiss. Instead, it was shot with Chris Hemsworth's actual wife, Elsa Pataky.
No way. Sick. His actual wife was on a movie. I hope she got paid. Put a contract in there for her.
This says a dead giveaway that Odin was being impersonated by Loki at the end of the movie is his posture. When the real Odin is seated on his throne, he sits evenly and upright, proudly. When Loki rules Asgard in the first Thor movie, he sits on the throne at an angle, leaning towards his right. Yes. And at the end of the movie, Odin is seated in the exact same posture.
Oh shit, let's go. That makes sense. That was a giveaway. I knew it. I'm kidding, I didn't know anything. Well, damn.
That's all I got.
That's all I've got. So,
if you want to tell us your thoughts or make a suggestion for another movie, you can reach us by sending an email to casualfanaticpod@gmail.com, or you can send us a tweet at CashFanPod. Also, if you would like to support us, you can do that in several ways. The easiest way is to tell people about our podcast, get more listeners. Love that. And if you really want to help, you can leave us a review and also follow, subscribe, whatever, on whichever platform you're listening to so that you get informed when a new episode is released.
Yeah, perfect.
You got anything else?
I don't. Just let everyone know. Let your friends know. When I game, I let people know because they ask why I have a good mic, and I tell them. And then I gave them our podcasts quite a few times. So
awesome.
You can spread the word in any way, whether at work, whether, you know, gaming, whatever you do. So just have fun and listen.
All right. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.